Like I say, we appreciate the privilege, again, the opportunity to be here in the service today. Don't read along with us. We're going to read some out of the 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. Book of 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. We appreciate you being here today and appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord. Now, this is some familiar scripture. We'll just ask the Lord to add his blessing. Ninth chapter, we'll start with the first verse. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall turn, ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hear us, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold according to all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. And he said, "What cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother?" And he called them the land of Kabu unto this day. And Hiram sent to the king 60 talents of gold. And this is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised, for to build the house of the Lord and his own house, and Milo, and the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, and Megiddo, and Jezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Jezer and burned it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth Horon the nether, and Baalath and Tadmor in the wilderness and the land, and all the cities of store that Solomon had, and cities for his chariots and cities for his horsemen, and that which Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and in all the land of his dominion. And all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able utterly to destroy, upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondmen, but they were men of war, and his servants and his princes, and his captains and his ruler of his chariots and his horsemen. These were the chief of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550, which bare rule over the people that wrought in the work. But Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo. And three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord, and he burned incense upon the altar that was before the Lord, so he finished the house. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. They came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold 420 talents and brought it to King Solomon. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the entire chapter, the ninth chapter of the book of 1 Kings. It's a continuing story, and we know that you go back in the other chapters here, and you'll find how that Solomon had built the house of the Lord, and after he had built the house of the Lord, he had sanctified it, he had prayed to the Lord that the Lord would put his name there, and also that he had recognized those that come to this place and give their petition. So the Bible says here, and I want to lay just a little bit of a foundation. The Lord, in the ninth chapter, he said that it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the Lord's house and his house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. Now I want to talk, the Lord help us, for just a little while this morning about that goes from here. The Lord had appeared unto Solomon the second time. And he began to talk to him, and he said, Solomon, he said, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to be with you. He said, as I was with thy father David, in other words, he said, I'll be with you. But he told him something. He said, then I will establish the throne of my kingdom. Now this was a promise, brethren, not only to Solomon, but unto David. And you'll find that he told David, my brethren, that they had not, in other words, the throne would never be empty. That there'd always be a king that sat upon this throne. That the throne and the kingdom was established in David. That's all the way through the New Testament. You'll find that, and you'll find that come to pass. But there were some stipulations, brethren, to Solomon about this continuing. He said, I'll be with you just like I've been with David. He said, but you, Solomon, I've established this. This is what I'm going to do. He said, but I do not. He said, but if ye shall at all turn from following me. Stipulation. If ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. He says, then will I cut off Israel. Now I want you to think this morning, you might say, preacher, that don't sound like a pretty message. I want you to realize today, brethren, me and you, just like it was Solomon, my friend, God will be with us. God will continue to bless us. But brethren, there's some stipulation that comes with serving the Lord this morning. They most certainly are. Always have been. Brethren, most folks don't like. You know, it's like going to work somewhere, my friend, and you sit down and you go over everything with them, and it all sounds good. And you get on the job, and it ain't what they told you is going to be. Brethren, you normally don't hang around. That's just the way it works. You don't hang around. I'm not going to do this. Well, this is how it is if you work here. Do you? You say, preacher, that's just too much to the point. The truth of it is, my friend, God will bless us just like he's promised us. But brethren, there's some stipulations for us to go after today. There's some things we have to follow. He said, but if Israel, he said, if you go after something else, after other gods, and do not my commandment, he said, I will cut off Israel, my friend. Now, Israel was his people. That's the reason that Solomon, my friend, had built a house. The Lord The scripture says, you know the background, Brethren, David had it in his heart to build God a house because the Lord was took from tent, my friend, and moved from here to there. Didn't have no permanent place, and David wanted to build him a house. And the Lord told him, said, you can't build me a house. You're not going to build me a house. He said, but thy son Solomon shall build me a house. And the scripture, you can go on and read it for yourself, how that David set up everything. Brethren, he put everything in place that this house might be built. And when Solomon had built it, he knew it wasn't nothing but a house except God put his name in it. He prayed that fact. He prayed that fact. Brethren, that the Lord would be mindful of this house. That God would be mindful of those that come and brought their petition to this house. And even a stranger would look toward Jerusalem. Brethren, he wanted God to hear him. And the Lord said, yea. Yea, I'll do all this. I'll put my name in this place, and I'll answer their prayers. Brethren, even if a stranger looks toward this place, brethren, I'll pay attention today. Brethren, God still does. Do you know that? God still does. He pays attention. I believe he pays attention to his people. Brethren, and his people are people that's just like Solomon. Brethren, following God's commandments today. There's something about the commandments of God. Brethren, that puts us in right reign with him. Did you know that? It puts us in line with him. Don't mind, you know, when things around the house, brethren, and everything's going pretty smooth, you don't have a problem coming to mother or dad, my friend, and talking to them about anything. That's how the Lord looked at it. He said, brethren, if they walking and they talking and they doing the things they ought to do, brethren, I've got no problem with hearing from them today. But he said, if they're going to the right or they're going to the left and they following other things, he said, let them know I will cut them off today. I will. Brethren, sometimes us parents don't know how to cut off. Did you know that? Oh, preacher, you're not going to get on that. My friend, I'll be honest with you. There's not a parent sitting here that won't do everything they can do, brethren, to help their children. Brethren, but let's be sure, thank God we're following the commandments. I remember Eldis. I'm going to tell on some of them. She can't get mad at me. Susan them might, but she can't. And I remember she's testified, my friend, more than once. Brethren, she said, I was helping Tony, and I was helping him, and I was helping him. She said, it come to me one day, quit, my friend. And you know what she said? Best thing I ever done. Woo! Woo! You say, preacher, that ain't easy to do. I didn't say it was easy. She didn't say it was easy either. Brethren, you can ask any parent. Listen to me. I'm just going to mind the Lord this morning. My friend, we need to be sure
by God, we're in love with God today. Bible says, Scripture says, I read it to you. He said, when they go after other gods and worship them, he said, I cut them off. Who did he cut off? He cut off Israel. He cut off them, my friend, that went after other gods. Read, you can read it from here all the way through, my friend, how that God took Israel and, my friend, let a lot of things come upon them because they had failed to follow Him. Our failure to follow the Lord has gotten us in trouble. We as a nation, my friend, reckon how far the Lord measurement. The measurement, my friend, reckon how far, how many yardsticks we'd have to get. My friend, the distance between people and God today. Reckon, you say, preacher, this ain't no shouting message. The truth of it is, it'll bring a shout. Thank God if you'll just follow Him tonight. I know. Well, preacher, you could have picked something else to preach on. I doubt it. I might have wanted to. I might have wanted to go a different way. But we're living in a time and a day, my friend, when people will worship anything! Anything! Brother, except God today! Amen. Bruce hit it on the head when he read what he did and when he said what he said. This worship service ought to be just that. A worship service. Not God worshiping us, but us worshiping Him. It's what it ought to be. Way it ought to work. Brethren, Solomon knowed he had built nothing but a house, except God put His presence in it, my friend. All who come through these doors, my friend, may they feel peace. May they find rest. What did you sing about this morning? Peace? Huh? Think about it. Preacher, I come for the preacher to feed me. That ain't worshiping. I'm not saying nothing for nothing this morning. And I'm just going to be as honest as I know how to be with you. Brethren, Solomon built a building, a magnificent building, brethren, knowing it was empty without God in the midst of it. It would be empty. Did you know that mine and your life is empty without the Lord? It's empty. I don't care. I don't care how many gods you put in there. The Philistines had a god. They called him Dagon. They worshiped Him. They did. They worshiped Him. Somebody, my friend, checked on Him. You know, He never did move. You know, He never did open His eyes. Did you know His ears never was opened? He never opened His mouth. He sat there like a stump because that's all He was. One day, the tabernacle showed up. And they put the tabernacle in with their god Dagon. You know what happened? Dagon got on the move. Did he not? He got on the move. Bible says they come out and checked on him and he was out on the ground. They didn't know what happened. Not at that time. The Philistines, my friend, they had some kind of belief in that stump Dagon. They did, that's all I can say. They had some kind of belief. These folks today running around with their gods in their pocket.
Amen.
Yes, they are. Most of other gods, my friend, dwell right here.
Amen.
You know that? They dwell right here, and it ain't that red dot either. Well, preacher, you get in trouble preaching like that. It's the truth. It's the truth. You won't put God to the test, my friend. He's very much capable. Thank God of the test this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
I still believe Dagon can't stand before him. Yes, sir. Second day, they took old Dagon, picked him up, and put him back up on the pedestal. Put him back. Right where he come from. Brother, the next day they come around, he is out on the ground again. He is broke. Broken. Yes, sir. They got the message. Do you know that? They got the message. There's folks, my friend, today that ain't getting the message. You hear me? Why, preacher, I'll worship God just like I worship anything else. That's the wrong message. That's the wrong message. You know why that's the wrong message? God ain't going to live like everything else. He ain't going to be on the same level as everything else. Brother, your Dagon's going to wind up broke. Yes, sir. Preacher, I can't believe people just run after things like that. Well, just look around you. The Bible says that when they left there that second time, they didn't set him back up. He was broken. They're going to have to mold him another one. Wouldn't they, Jeff? Yes, sir. Going to have to go make them another one. Why, preacher, the Lord told me if I do this, he'll do that. I'll tell you, he'll do all he can and all he will do according to his word this morning. He'll not go against his word. Oh, preacher, I don't know about that. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. The Word. He ain't going to change it. He don't change it for me. He don't change it for you. He's not going to change it for this world. This world, my friend, has forgotten how to follow instructions this morning. There's a reason that God gave the commandments to Moses. Bible said he was on the mountain with him for 40 days and 40 nights. And he come off that mountain with 10 commandments. Written in stone on two tablets. And Moses had both of them. Did he not? The scripture says that the law came by transgressions. In other words, the children of Israel transgressed God's commandment, my friend. That brought the law. His law, his commandments. That's the reason he had Moses to write them down. That's the reason. You may not abide by them today, but you're under them. Whether you want to be or not. Well, preacher, I'm New Testament. Well, go read your New Testament. Go and read it. You'll find them. Thou shalt what? Have no other gods before me. Number one. Number one. Anywhere you find it written, my friend, in the scriptures, number one. New Testament says it like this. He said a new commandment. It's what John said, little John. It's what he said. He said, I write unto you a new commandment, which is no new commandment. It's not new. But I'm going to write it. Here it is. You don't like dividing by the 10, I'm going to give you 2. Very first one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Number one. Preacher, you said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You love God with all?
Amen.
They won't be another before. Will and Jeff, woo! I just want to know I'm reading this right. The second commandment is like this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hangeth the law and the commandments. If you'll have it. These two. You say, preacher, I'm not under them. You're under the two. The two, my friend, brings you under thee. I can't help what I've got this morning. I want you to know, my friend, we think we found a way to abide without the vine. And brethren, we are absolutely dying without the vine. I've got some grapevines, some muscadine, scupidine vines. I got two. I got one muscadine, I got one scupidine. And sometimes between now and the end of next month, I'm going to go out there. Robert? These vines run everywhere. I mean everywhere. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut them. I'm going to cut them. I'm going to cut all them old long rascals. Yes, sir. Every one of them. When I finish, my friend, I'm going to have the vine. You hear me? Brethren, them branches bring forth nothing. Nothing anymore. Because they've been cut off. Yes, sir. From the vine. From their source. Yes, sir. Ain't that what the Lord said he was going to do to Israel? Ain't that what he said here in the days of Solomon? He said, Solomon, you follow me like David followed me. He said, I'm going to establish the kingdom. Yes, sir. Do you know what happened after Solomon? Split. It split. Kingdom was divided. Jerusalem and Judah. You got it before you. It's in black and white. Brethren, you can read. We've read some in this morning out of Isaiah, and we read some out of Jeremiah, Daniel. And brethren, I want you to know that they was living in a time when they prophesied that Israel was cut off. Cut off. You go on reading in that of Isaiah, and you'll find that there's a verse that says like this. He says, thou shalt be no more termed forsaken. Thou, I cut you off, but brother, there's coming a day I'm no longer gonna turn you as forsaken. He said, but I'm gonna bring you together like Hephzibah. Yeah, that is my delight. That's what the Lord said. You can go and read this in the 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. No longer will you be cut off through the land. Brethren, I'm going to gather you back together. Woo! You know what? I know what I preach Wednesday night. Do you know what? Brethren, you know what we need? We need a gathering. We need, my friend, it to be where we have one mind and one accord and the branch abide in the vine. If you want to bring forth fruit, you'll abide in the vine. You say, preacher, where do you cut all them branches off for? You cut them off because they're not ever going to bring more fruit. Ever. The fruit off of a vine, brethren, like that comes off of the new growth. Does it not? Glory, thanks be to God! God can cut us off and, brethren, raise up another nation that will serve Him and that will worship Him. Preacher, you mad at us this morning? Not a bit. Thou promise you, folks, we might not be living in Solomon's day, brethren, as he's got it written down here, but I want you to know the same principles are there. The same rules, the same mode of rules is there. Preacher, I ain't going to church where they got rules. Well, you might as well never go because all of them got some of some kind. You think you got it rough, you ought to wake up in Solomon's day. Huh? Solomon's day. Brother Solomon knowed what it was, Mike. He knowed what it was to build this house and God not put his name there. He knowed what it was. And all he asked is that you put your name. All he asked is that you just look and give the people their petition, their prayers, their alms. Yes, did you know that a stranger, a Gentile race of people, did you know they could come and go with the children of Israel? You go over and see if Moses didn't ask Raguel, Zaxel, his father-in-law's brother. You go and see if he didn't ask him. Said, come and go with us. And Raguel wasn't no Hebrew. No, sir. But you know what they had to do? Brethren, if they come with the house of Israel, you know what they had to do? They had to live and abide by their commandments. Yes, sir. They had to live and abide by their commandments. You can't stay with us, my friend, and not partake of the commandments. Preacher, Solomon wasn't saying that. Solomon was saying that. We've built the house. God, you put your name here. If these people will look towards you, If they'll look toward Jerusalem, will you hear their petition? That's all he asked. You know, there's been men and women alike down through the ages that thought they could get around. Oh, we can go around all that. The sons of Korah. Brethren, they were not priests, nor could they ever be. Huh? But the sons of Levi was the priesthood. But the sons of Korah, my friend, got in their mind. They wanted to worship, and they wanted to offer the offerings. And they come to Moses, and Moses told them, said, "You can't. You can't. Brother, the sons of Levi has been set aside." Same way, it's what happened to Saul. One of the things that happened to Saul, the king, that great king that the children of Israel had, he called for Samuel to come down there and worship, and Samuel didn't get there in a hurried manner. Did he? Didn't get there quick enough. Huh? Not quick enough. No, Saul took it upon himself. He said, "I'll take care of this." He did. And you know what Samuel told him? He said, "The Lord has rejected you. The Lord has rejected you." Why? I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of folks, my friend, that's lived such a rejected life that they got used to it. Now, the Camis used to sing a song every now and again. You hear it very, very seldom, if any. Getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. I heard a message on the way up here this morning, the preacher, and he got talking about coming out of darkness in the light. But he is talking about, you know what it is, how you can focus, your eyes of focus. You go into a dark room, you can't see nothing, but just give it a minute. Just give it a minute and you'll start focusing. And brethren, after a while you can see good enough in the dark that it don't bother you to be in the dark. Brethren, that's what folks have got into. They got into the darkness. They got used to darkness. And brother, they think that darkness has life in it. But there is none. There is none. I went in a cave years ago. We just run up on it, just to be honest with you. Didn't even know it was there. Over there. We stopped in. We went in that cave and me and our kids, when we went in there, and they got talking about how dark it was. And Josh went up there just a little bit. He saw a little old tree starting to grow. It was about like that. He just looked at me and he said, "How can that be?" I said, "You see that light? Huh? You see, brethren, they was nothing on the ground. They was nothing growing. Why? It's darkness. Brethren, you can get used to not having any fruit this morning." This is what, preacher, he didn't tell Solomon all that. Yes, he did. "You follow me. Just like your father David did." He said, "That kingdom will be established in you." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm not going to tell you how many years it's been from King Solomon to our day. I'm not going to tell you how many years. You can look it up. Why, you say, "Preacher, it's got to be millions of years." Not quite. But nonetheless, I want you to know and to realize this morning that the statutes and the commandments of the Lord are the same. Brethren, we as His people should follow His commandments today if you want to be happy. If you want to have joy, if you want to have peace, you say, preacher, I look around and I see so many Christians going through things and they're having trouble and I don't want none of that. Well, bless your heart. All you see is the outward. Because we've got it. We have it. We go through it. Brethren, we're facing it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Our troubles might be just like Jordan, but I'm going to tell you, God can still get us across Jordan this morning.
Amen.
What was the problem? What did he tell Solomon? Didn't they say, Solomon, I've heard your prayer. Solomon, I see your desires. Did you know it goes on? You can go on reading and find, and the Lord give Solomon some things. He give him some things. Solomon didn't ask for them. He asked for, my friend, the right to judge among the people, that he might have the wisdom to judge righteously. It's what he asked for. God give him that, but he give him some riches. He give him some other things. You just the beginning in this chapter is what began to come to Solomon. A lot of them, it said there, Hiram wasn't pleased with what he gave him. And he still gave him so much gold. Did he not? Still give him so much gold. He wasn't pleased with what he had, but brethren, Solomon, I'm still going to give you some gold. Woo! Have you ever, my friend, received something when you know you did not deserve it? This is it. This is it. You say, preacher, that's an old message. We don't like old messages. I'm going to tell you something. They got a sign that on church bulletin down home. It's still on it. They put it up there the first day of the year, and it's still there. And it simply says, New Year, same God. Woo! A lot of folks don't like that. I'm sort of a simple fella, but I tell you, it just does something to me every time I see it. New Year, same God. You know what, folks? It don't change. Huh? We ain't changing the program for you. Did you hear that? Preacher, we need us one of them new ones. Well, go ahead and get you one. And I'll tell you something, my friend. There's one program that this people of this day need. You know what that is? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Jesus. All he asks, folks, as we follow him. Don't serve these other gods. They're out there. There's beaucoups of them. Hundreds of them. I can't tell you. I know things are growing. I do. I know things are growing. I went to Carrollton the other day. And this is the middle of the day. And I was driving down through there, and I just thought to myself, well, where's all these people going? Then I went a little further, Robert, and I said, where in the world are they coming from? Huh? They going somewhere. Yeah. And they come from somewhere. They most certainly did. I know the population is growing. There's not a town or city you can go to around that they ain't building something. Building. But I want you to know one thing. In all this building, I know, we see pop-ups. I call them pop-ups. They pop them up, and they've got every name in the book. They do. Got every name in the book. My friend, about how you need to just come and worship with them. Come and worship with them. You know, when Solomon built that house, the Lord's house, he wanted everybody to come. Doors are open. Can I say that this morning? The doors are open. Come. Come and get a verse of a song. That's the message. I don't know your heart. It might not have been what you was looking for. I thought about it when I got up, but sometimes things leave me pretty quick these days. But nonetheless, I can honestly and faithfully tell you that what God required of me when I got saved is still required of me.
Amen.
It's still.
Amen.
It ain't changed.
No,
not a bit. And you know what, Jeff? I have found Him. I have found Him to be the same God. The same God that gloriously saved me. He's still that same God. Yes, He is. I can go to Him. I can trust Him. I can put all my eggs in His basket. I can. Well, preacher, you can't do that. I know what people says. But I got some, Brother Bruce, from Him that I ain't got from nobody. Huh? Nobody. Nobody's cared for my soul like He did. Woo! Ain't that good? Ain't it good to know, my friend, that you got somebody, brother, that cares for you this morning?
Amen.
Preacher, there's something wrong with you. Well, I'm going to say this, and I'll ask you to stand. I'm going to leave here trusting the same God that I come here with. And when they lay me in the grave, Brother Robert, I'm going home. I'm going home. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got a promise, don't you? Let us stand.